Support for this podcast and the following message come from Deloitte, a global leader in digital transformation, helping clients apply technologies like cloud and AI to their unique business challenges. Deloitte.com/lookagain.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. And in a week of monster bugs, Microsoft warns of monster bugs. We learn that a computer bug, it is now patched, could be used by a cyber weapon similar to the WannaCry worm, which, if you'll recall, spread across the globe 2 years ago. All the details after these tech headlines. Facebook will bar people who post or share terrorist propaganda from broadcasting live video on its service. That is the official announcement this week. This, of course, comes months after the streaming feature was used to broadcast the assault in March on mosques in New Zealand. The new policy is part of a package of commitments from governments and tech companies alike, dubbed the Christchurch Call, aimed at stemming the tide of extremist content on the internet. One of China's tech superstars is back in the game. While Tencent's latest results aren't particularly inspiring, revenue for the first 3 months grew 16%, its operating profit increased 20%. That's above estimates. The journal says this is thanks to a $1.6 billion one-off valuation gain from its investments rather than from core gaming. Tencent, which has a market value equivalent to more than $450 billion, got battered last year as Chinese regulators froze game approvals for 9 months. And the journal notes that Tencent, the world's largest game publisher, made nearly half of its 2018 revenue and likely most of its profit from the industry. And the next frontier in the privacy debate? Your airplane flight. Airlines will soon have extensive new ways to track passengers, raising new concerns about the balance between convenience and data security. Imagine this, though. Red and green lights that show passengers where to find overhead bin space, sensors that tip off flight attendants at whose seatbelt isn't fastened, and airlines that track how much you sleep, what you watch, and what you eat. That's the goal of technology manufacturers who are fine-tuning such convenience to passengers, along with information about flyers' habits to airlines. It'll start rolling out in about 2 years. You can read more about how the airplane cabin is about to get smart from the journal's Scott McCartney, who has the details at WSJ.com. Coming up, among several high-profile computer security issues to emerge this week, Microsoft warns of a monster bug.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Deloitte, a global leader in digital transformation, helping clients apply technologies like cloud and AI to their unique business challenges. Deloitte.com/lookagain.
No lack of computer bugs this week, and apparently Microsoft is next in line with a new warning. The Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner has more.
A warning from Microsoft. If your computer has an older version of the Windows operating system, you should know that your machine could be affected by a monster computer bug. Microsoft says the bug has been patched, but it could wind up being exploited by malicious software or malware. The bug is one of several high-profile computer security issues to emerge this week. Let's get more from Bob McMillan of the Wall Street Journal, who's in San Francisco. Bob, you write that this is similar to the WannaCry worm, which spread globally 2 years ago?
Well, okay, so the bug behind it is similar to the bug behind the WannaCry worm. So there's a problem within Microsoft's operating system that if you're on a local network, you know, a network in your office or something like that, there's a service that connects computers on that network, and that has a bug in it. Now, that would allow somebody who wrote some software that was malicious, like, say, the WannaCry worm, to write software that would exploit this new bug and go from computer to computer within your local area network, within your office. And what we found out with WannaCry is that even though in theory these kinds of worms should be stopped at the firewall, you know, and not leave offices, they did that during the WannaCry outbreak. And so people are concerned that if this bug were exploited by somebody who wrote, say, ransomware that traveled around, it could affect a lot of computers. WannaCry affected at least 200,000 computers, and then it was stopped. The creators of it put like a kill switch in it, basically a way of stopping the worm from spreading, and somebody activated that which stopped it. It could have been much worse.
What versions of Windows does this affect?
You know, as I was talking just now, I realized it's the version that my parents have, Windows 7. And I need to give them a call right after this interview. So Windows 7 is kind of getting along in the tooth. That's probably the main, you know, the main supported version of Windows that people are going to have and need to worry about. Windows, the newer versions, Windows 8 and Windows 10, are not affected by this. But if you have Windows 7 or older, so even if you're for some reason still running Windows XP, then you're at risk. Now, this is interesting because Windows XP is what they call an unsupported operating system. They don't, Microsoft doesn't release bug fixes for Windows XP anymore. But in this case, they're doing it just because they think the bug is that serious.
Shouldn't people upgrade to the new versions or the newest version of Windows as soon as possible?
Hey, come on. If you're running XP, you really hang your head down in shame and go over to Best Buy. Yeah, it's time to upgrade. I was going to say, I don't want to slag my parents because they're running Windows 7.
If they're running Windows 7, they should be slagged.
Okay, fair enough.
Is it even certain that the patch will work?
Oh yeah, Microsoft is really good at making patches. They test them. They, you know, I think if you put it in, you're not gonna have the security problem involved here. Now the flip side of this is in large corporations, there's sometimes unexpected things that happen when you add a patch. So all the corporate IT folks are going to be wanting to test this, and there's going to be some tension. Like if you are on a network that's running Windows 7 and you need your corporate IT people to update the software, they're going to want to test it and make sure it doesn't break everything else on the network, and they're going to be under pressure to do that because the bad guys, they now can see what was patched and they do what's called reverse engineering that bug, and it's usually a matter of hours, days if not hours, before they develop like exploit code software that can be used to attack vulnerable systems. So there's kind of a race going on right now.
Any reported instances of someone trying to take advantage of the bug at this point?
Not yet.
Talk about some of the other bugs that have occurred recently.
Oh yeah, it's been a bug week, right? There was this great, very well named bug affecting Intel processors called Zombie Load, and they're actually a series of what they call side channel attacks on Intel chips. Now, you may remember a year ago there were two bugs, Spectre and Meltdown, and they were opened up a new field of attack on the Intel processors. Basically, Intel uses this technology called hyper-threading that allows a lot of very fast execution to occur on the processor, but it can also cause some security problems. And the Spectre and Meltdown bugs exploited this, and now this new Zombie Load bugs and the other bugs that they found exploit the sort of very fast execution that's going on Intel's chip, and they can be used in certain circumstances to read data that's in the memory of the chip. So that's bad because the data in the memory could be like your password, or it could be an encryption key, or could be anything you can imagine, really, that you wouldn't want somebody else to read. Those bugs, though, the Intel chip bugs are thought most people they're really hard to exploit, and they're not likely to be appear in like a they're not going to appear in a global worm that takes out shipping companies or FedEx or things like that. But they're of concern to people who are worried about being spied on. Now the other bug that's sort of a kind of a jaw dropper was the WhatsApp bug, and so. Facebook says that there was a way of breaking into the WhatsApp app on your phone involving just phoning somebody. So if the technical details of this have not been released, but basically if you made a call to a WhatsApp call to somebody and structured the data in that call a certain way, you could actually hack into the person's phone. There are a couple of examples of this having happened. So this was kind of a worrying bug because, first of all, it was just the kind of thing people don't think about when you use WhatsApp. One of the great benefits of it is it's end-to-end encrypted, so it's really hard for people to spy on the messages that you're sending or listen in on the phone calls. And this subverted the security of that So it was very concerning. And then also it was just interesting that it was triggered by a phone call. I mean, you don't hear about bugs that are triggered that way very often. So that's been patched. But if you have WhatsApp on your phone, you should go and make sure you download the new version of it, because if you haven't updated before this week, you have a vulnerable version on your phone.
Wall Street Journal reporter Bob McMillan joining us from San Francisco. Thanks, Bob.
My pleasure.
Thanks again to the Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner. That ends this edition of the Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.